so confused. I know I heard you loud and clear, so I followed through. Somehow I ended up here. I don't wanna think, I may never understand, that my broken heart is a part of your plan. When I try to pray, all I got is her and these four words: Thy will be done, Thy will be done, Thy will be done.
Well, good morning. Good morning. What a beautiful day. Is everybody excited? Can you do me a favor? Can you look back at the sound team and the media team and give them a big hand clap this morning? You know, they're the hidden workings. Without them, you'd only hear this. So aren't you glad they're there? Amen. Praise the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, there's the anointing right there. I already sent them come. Jesus, we thank you that you're filling this room with your presence and your power. God, all that matters today is that you make yourself known. Lord, as you do, you'll change our lives in this building. So, Holy Spirit, we give you liberty and freedom. Save the lost. Heal the sick. We ask that those who are in bondage will be freed. We ask that today those that are hopeless will get hope infused supernaturally. That God, when we leave this place, will say, we have been in the house of God. So Holy Spirit, use us to stir the presence of heaven in this place. That God, you'll be glorified when this day is done. That we'll truly be able to say, we've been in the house of God. And let Father, you'll say, they worship me in spirit and in truth. So, Lord, today we just abandon ourselves and we say, use us as instruments, Holy Ghost, to bring glory to heaven in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Let's worship together.
Amen. Can I hear a shout of praise for Jesus this morning? I'm so excited to lift God up, so I just want to see you clap your hands. Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever. Come on, let me hear you sing it out. Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever. Come on, everybody sing, Lord, you are good.
Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever.
Lord, you are good.
Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever. From generation to generation, we worship you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we worship you for who you are.
Come on, sing, we worship you.
We worship you.
Sing, Lord, you are good.
Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever.
Lord, you are good.
Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever.
Come on, sing that one more time. Lord, you are good.
Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth
Jesus, we just relinquish all control over to you right now in Jesus' name, God. We step off of the throne and put you back on. Thank you, Jesus.
We worship you.
Come on, everybody, sing Seated Above.
Seated above, throned in the Father's love. Suffered as if he did. What a glory, every victory is yours. the blood of the Lamb
and the word of our
testimony.
That's your hope right there.
Overcome. Sing, we will.
We will love.
Come on, lift him up this morning.
By the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, everyone.
Shedding your precious blood for us. Thank you, Jesus.
You sacrificed your life.
worth keeping. So you clean me up.
So you clean me up inside. You thought I was to die for. So you sacrificed your life.
So I could be free.
So I could be whole. So I could tell everyone I know.
Hallelujah.
So you came and changed my life.
Jesus.
You thought I was worth keeping. So you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die.
I don't know if you've noticed, but in first service the last few weeks, the Holy Spirit's been really strong. And you know, it's important that we make sure that we recognize Him. And so all the way from the back, all the way to the front, I want to see, if you're a guest in the house, it doesn't make you weird. You can go half-mast if you want. But I like all believers to shoot your hands to heaven. And I just want you to start loving on Him right now. Jesus, we just can't thank you enough. We can't thank you enough, God, for all you're doing in our life. Can't thank you, Jesus, enough for washing our sins away. We can't thank you enough, Jesus, for making us whole inside. Lord, there are people struggling in the room this morning that are not whole inside. And Holy Spirit, we ask in the name of Jesus that you'll come upon them and that Holy Spirit, you'll start healing them, giving them hope, giving them reason, giving them purpose. Lord, there are people here that are addicted to different things in their life. God, we just come against, Lord, addictions in Jesus' name. We break the power of that devil in the name of Jesus. We declare that no believer is addicted to anything. That God, those that are struggling with cigarettes and alcoholism, God, those that are struggling with pornography, God, those that are struggling even with people addictions, soul ties, we break them in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for the sound of the authority. God, we thank you that this morning, any sickness and disease in the house that's on a believer, you foul disease, you have no right on a Christian. You have no right on a son and daughter. Jesus Christ took it on Calvary. We command that disease right now to shrivel up and die. We command right now what it has accomplished to be reversed in Jesus' name. Restoration come to the body. Lord, even body parts that have been extracted, we command them to come forth and be manifest in the body. Creative miracles this morning. In Jesus' name. God, we thank you. That, Lord, there's nothing impossible for you. And that, Lord, you just love to hear our testimony. That, God, you are so good. You are good. You are good. And we love you this morning. Here he is. We love you this morning. He's sweeping across right now. We love you this morning. Holy Spirit, go to the back, please. Come to the front. Here he is. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. God, you're so good. We love you. You're so good. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Ever faithful God. sweet Holy Spirit. We honor you. Oh, hallelujah. I just sense another, it's almost like a blanket getting ready to come. Get ready. In the name of Jesus, release the presence of God. Confirm, Holy Spirit. Lord, there are folks that have never sensed you in this building. There are folks that have never experienced you, Jesus. They believe in you, but they've never experienced you. I pray that right now you make a visitation. Some, it's been so long, Lord, since they've come and gotten a touch from you. Let this be their moment. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Isn't he good? Do you want to know what he's been speaking to me lately? You know, whenever Jesus spoke, things changed. There was an authority. There's two words for power in the scripture. One's dunamis, which is the supernatural power of God. And then there's exousia, which is authority. Remember the seven sons of Sceva? They went and they tried to cast the devils out. And the devil said, Jesus we know, Paul we know, but who are you? And I started pondering the scripture. And the scripture, he's teaching me the sound of authority. Because you can shout, doesn't mean you have authority. You can whisper and have authority. There's a sound that permeates the natural realm, that enters the spirit realm, that activates heaven on earth, that devils know. It's not a physical tone, although it has to be spoken physically. But there's a tone in the spirit. And I've just been asking him to teach me about this tone in the spirit. Whenever Jesus spoke, remember he was at the city Nain? And the boy, he came upon a funeral. Hallelujah. Whew. Came upon a funeral. And he walked over to the boy and with words spoke authority and power was released. So you can have authority, but if you have no power, you're weak. But if you have power, but no authority, you're still weak. But when you have the voice of authority that activates the power, there's nothing that can't happen. And so here's Jesus. When he spoke it, the authority, the sound, the tone went into the eternal, grabbed that boy's soul, pulled it out of eternity, and brought it back into the physical body. So I keep asking, what is that tone? And I know it has a lot to do with relationship. You don't mind I babble a little bit, do you? Good. It doesn't matter. You ever read that scripture in the book of Matthew 7 that says, many will say, Lord, Lord, did we not cast out devils in your name? Did we not prophesy in your name? And it goes on. And Jesus says, I never knew you. Only those who do the will of the Father. It's interesting how we all think the will of God is casting out devils and healing the sick, prophesying in his name, and all those things are manifestations of the will of God. But the true will of God is what activates the sound of authority in heaven. I'll leave that for you to ponder. Because I've got to preach it. I don't want to preach the message to you. And I'm not preaching that today anyways. I just want you to hear what God's been speaking to me. God will speak to you every day. But you got to quiet yourself. Some of you are so busy. That we'll get into today. Amen. Do you feel the presence of the Holy Spirit? Amen. Can you do me a favor? Can you go share that? Can you share the presence of the Holy Spirit? That means go find somebody you don't know, shake their hand and say, well, good morning. Come on, sharing the love of the Lord, sharing the presence of the Holy Ghost. Come on, share, share, share. Be a good sharer this morning. Come on, turn right around. And maybe you're uncomfortable. You don't like saying hi to anybody. That's all right. If they fight you, we got.
Hey guys, it's time to come up with the next Awaken Monthly.
Well, now baseball season's over and somehow the Astros won. How about we do something like Football Sunday?
No one cares about sports, Randall. Let's do a Thanksgiving dinner instead.
How are you not fat? No, I like Randall's idea. Now we need to come up with some games.
People gotta eat, Pastor Chad.
Marcus, if I promise to get you chicken wings, will you shut up or start being helpful?
Can you throw in some dip too?
Oh my gosh. So, about those games.
How about at 4:30 we start out a game of flag football, and then at 5:30 transition to game of like relay races, and they'll get to like tackle this dummy.
I'll tackle you.
What was that, Marcus?
I wasn't talking to you, Randall.
Wait, guys. We're still gonna do like the wings and dip and like sodas and coffee, right?
Yeah, let's do it. Hey, good morning, family. We want to remind you about the Next Steps classes that we have happening every single week. We have Rock Solid Faith in Step 1 every Tuesday night at 7 p.m., every Wednesday morning at 9 a.m., and every Thursday night at 6 p.m. And then Step 2 classes we have also Tuesday night with Marriage at 7 p.m. and Family and Parenting happening every Thursday night at 6 p.m. Make sure you come out for a Next Steps class today. Pastor Dan, wake up. Oh, sorry. Listen, Guess what? Senior breakfast tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. We're meeting at Cracker Barrel for breakfast. Make sure you come out. This is Breakfast with the Pastors, and we want to invite anybody that's over the age of 50 to come out for breakfast. So again, tomorrow morning, senior breakfast at Cracker Barrel, 9 a.m. We'll see you there.
Every day is sweeter than the day before in the house of the Lord, right? One of the things that I love about our church is that every morning when we come in, it's like a big family reunion, and it's so exciting seeing everyone, just getting to hug everybody, check in with each other. And we are so blessed to have the relationships, kingdom relationships here on earth, as it will be in heaven. Can I get an amen? So we just want to welcome our guests this morning. If you are a guest, if you would just raise your hand, we would love to give you a gift. It's our sincere joy and pleasure to have you join us. It's so exciting to build new relationships and friendships, and that's one of the true blessings of who we are at His Tabernacle. So if you're a guest this morning, just lift your hand up. We have a guest right here in the front middle section. Any other guests in this place this morning? Okay, we do have a guest reception. If you go out, I know you should get more excited. Hallelujah, amen. So for our guests, we always have a guest reception over here on this side of the building. So you just go right out the back doors, take a left, go down the hallway. There's a sign. Our pastors and ministers would love to get to know you. And we have amazing refreshments and coffee. As a Christian, I feel like we can never get too much coffee. But we would love to invite you in just to spend some time getting to know you. We would also like to welcome our live stream family. Thank you so much for checking in this morning. We love you, and we praise God for you in this body. And even though you aren't with us here today, our hearts and our minds and our prayers are with you always as a member of this family. We would like to remind you of Next Steps. If you have not heard about Next Steps yet, you must be a guest in this house, because we talk about Next Steps all the time. We would love to invite you out to Rock Solid Faith. That is, what is that, body of Christ? It's step. Say it again, it's step. So if you're not in Rock Solid Faith, if you have not taken it before, you need to take Rock Solid Faith. I've been a Christian, it feels like my whole life. My parents are word-rich Christians, and I'm telling you that I learned so much through Rock Solid Faith. And as a teacher, I am still learning. God is still developing me, even as I teach the Word of God. So you are missing out if you don't jump on board. That is Tuesday nights at 7 o'clock with Pastor Spencer. And Wednesday mornings with Pastor Dan at 9 a.m. And then Thursday nights at 6 o'clock with me. We have a really great time. If you want to know the Word and know what God has to say about your life and how you should live it and how to apply it, you need to get to Rock Solid Faith. And then we have Steps 2. Everybody say Step 2. We have Marriage in the Family happening Tuesday nights at 7 o'clock. And if you know Pastor Dan and his wife Jody, you know that you are in for some fun. So you need to come out to that marriage class. They have a phenomenal marriage. They know how to be friends. They know how to love on one another, protect one another. I cannot think of a better couple for you to learn from. They are a powerhouse couple. They are the... Well, I'm not even going to say, I was going to say the Brad and Angelina, but they're just, that's not a good example. But they're the hot marriage couple of this house. So you want to learn from them. On that note, I'm going to turn it over to Pastor Spencer.
Praise the Lord. We want to pray real quickly for a few things. Number one, we want to pray for our Bible school students. Many of them are heading back to Texas this week, or break is over. Young man, keyboard is heading back to Rochester. So let's just pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, and also Mexico, young lady, where is she? Where's Sandy? Sandy and her daughter are heading back to Mexico. We need a miracle. We need their visa restored, amen, so she can finish out what she's done. She's already got a year and a half in. It'd be crazy, and we just want to be able to have her come back and finish, amen. Father, we thank you for all these Bible school students. They're such a blessing, Lord, as they're learning you. They're learning how to move in your kingdom, learning how to change lives, learning the principles of your word. So, Father, we thank you for them, and we just speak blessing as they travel, blessing to their family. God, we pray for a miracle for Sandy and her daughter, that they may come back and finish, Lord, what they have started. Lord, let even those, God, that would say no be blind or out, Lord, blinded in the night, God, or just out of work that day, God, that they can come back and do their thing. In Jesus' name, amen. We also want to welcome, and I know he doesn't like this, but we want to welcome our brother back. Brother, will you stand right up? You're on the front row. Stand right up. Jay Collins. Turn around. Wave at everybody. Amen. He was on a mission this week. His mission, actually, it's been 2 weeks, correct? He's been gone 2 weeks, and what they've been doing, there's a whole crew of them. They've been going into other countries and snagging the young ladies and young men who are in sex slavery in brothels and saving them and bringing them to a Christian location. How many this time? 12? 12 young. How old was the youngest? 5-year-old little girl being in sex trade all the way till 17 years old, pulled out of the sex trade in other countries and brought to a Christian organization where they can get healed up, know Christ, and be changed by the power of God. Amen? Thank you. We also want to pray real quickly, and I know I'm taking time, so we're probably going to have to, I don't know what we got going, but what I need to do is we need to pray for the church in Texas and their families. One family, I think, lost eight members of their family, from a baby all the way to a 77-year-old grandparent. All were shot at church. Now, listen, I've always said this. We live in a phenomenal country. But if persecution ever came to the church, we have, last week there were, between live stream and also in-house, we had just about 1,000 folks. I guarantee you that this church, if persecution actually came to the church, would get down to about 200 people. Because if it's going to cost us to serve God, then many people don't want that kind of God. They don't want to pay a price. In other countries, they pay a price on a consistent basis. Amen? And so we just want to pray for those families. They were worshiping God like we are today. And I want to thank God for our safety security team. We've taken abuse for that over many years. Josiah, come here. We've taken abuse over many years for having a safety security team. This young man right here has been heading this up for 15 years here at His Tabernacle Family Church. What a phenomenal team of men and women. Amen. Their job is to protect the anointing. Not just from what happened last week down in Texas, but also, many of you don't know, we've had women crowning in the foyer before. We've had people have heart attacks. We've had situations happen. You would never know, because their job is to make sure that the anointing is never disturbed. And we want to thank God for the safety security team. Thank you so much, Josiah, and the team that's here in the building. Father, right now we stand, Lord, as their family. God, we are their family in Texas. We are the body of Christ. This is the kingdom of God. We pray, God, that you'll show mercy and that, Father, you'll bring, Lord, a peace that doesn't make any sense. Lord, there, even the pastor lost his daughter. Father, we pray, God, that you'll move on their families and that, God, you'll comfort their families. That, Lord, they'll hear the prayers all the way from Horseheads, New York. All the way, God, all the way down to Texas. That, Father, they'll feel the embrace of heaven around them. And that, Lord, they'll know, God, that they're not alone, but their family all across the world is praying for them today. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. This morning, we'd like to honor all the veterans. Isn't that amazing? All the veterans in the house. Can I have all the veterans, anybody who's ever served for our armed forces, if you'll please stand to your feet. Amen. Come on, I know there are more. Don't be ashamed. Amen. Thank you so much. Come on, give them a better hand clap than that. They're why you can say you can stand here today. Michael Kent was here last week. He's still in active duty. Can I have everyone stand? We're gonna sing the national anthem. And I thank God for America. America is the greatest country in the world to live. Some people say, well, I don't like America. We got problems. Listen, any country without problems is not a country. We got problems. But listen, we don't rely upon natural man. We rely upon God. Amen? We're in the greatest season of the church right now. And in America, we have the greatest opportunity to share the gospel all over the world.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming? Whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rockets still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave for the land of the free and the
Amen. Let's pray for America. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for the greatest outpouring of your Holy Spirit across the Americas. Lord, from the north to the south to the east to the west, God, let the greatest harvest ever come of souls in America in these next few years. Jesus, you are coming soon, and America needs revival. We pray the fire of heaven to be released from even this house in this region. And across the nation, in Jesus' name. So, Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Father, for our privilege of living here. We pray for all the men and women across the world, God, that are serving on behalf of this country. Lord, some of them, Lord, have paid the ultimate price. We pray for their families. Others, God, Lord Jesus, aren't even sure what they believe. But, God, we ask that you'll have somebody within their group, within their battalion, within their company, Father, share the gospel that they will be saved. Lord, keep them out of harm's way for the glory of heaven. In Jesus' name, and everybody say, Amen. You may be seated this morning.
Hallelujah. It is time to talk about prosperity according to the Word of God, and we are a house of tithers here. It is such a privilege to belong to a house where the pastor will bring in the gifts to the church. And when Brother John Avanzini was brought in, intentional, it was so phenomenal, the anointing for finances that was released. The revelation of walking under an open heaven, pastor is praying for. Go ahead.
I do want to give a great testimony. I think you have to give the testimonies, amen? I went for lunch last week, and a gentleman who doesn't even come to the church sowed $20,000 into his Tabernacle Family Church. Doesn't even come to this church. He's in ministry in another church. But he felt led of the Holy Spirit to sow $20,000 at his Tabernacle Family Church. We want to thank the Lord for that. Amen.
Amen. So financial breakthrough through the man of God has been released into this house. And pastor is praying over your dedications, your covenant with God to share your increase, to become a tither according to Malachi chapter 3, which then causes us to move from the natural with our finances to the supernatural, walking under an open heaven. So we have a testimony today because that is what in Malachi 3. If you read on, they began to share with one another the breakthrough and the awesome things that God had been doing in their lives. And this testimony just got me so excited in my heart, because there is a temptation when we commit to tithe that happens. And just listen to this awesome, awesome testimony about how great our God is, moving from the natural to walking in supernatural finances. Pretty cool. I don't know.
So recently, God blessed my wife with a brand new job over at Ithaca College, full-time job. And we knew this was something that God was going to use to, in 2018, move us into a financial place where we wanted to be with our family and in our lives. The problem was that we saw a couple issues arise where we have two young kids. We're like, okay, we need daycare, which luckily God gave us an amazing daycare person. Portia Gilbert actually is watching our kids, and they absolutely love it. But there's that whole new finance, plus we had to get a new car, and then we had to fix the car and register it, and we now have to pay gas on her car all the way to Ithaca 5 days a week. And my paychecks covered our bills, but now there's all these other things, and we were going to end up being a little behind and play a little catch up until we got her paychecks coming in. But we thought about it, and we thought, oh shoot, Christmas is coming up. We're okay with the bills. We know we got a plan. It's not a big deal. We're going to get there. But how are we going to give our two young boys a nice Christmas? And we walked through Walmart a few times, and my son, I don't know if you know those, little tykes cars that you like Flintstone pedal through. They're like $100 ones. My son kept seeing it. He's like, Daddy, I want that. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that'd be so cool. And I look at my wife. I'm like, being his only gift. I was like, so, okay, God, we need to do this. And John Avanzini came. And we've been tithing every single week. But we've been nickel and diming our tithe to the point of, okay, what's the exact amount of my gross? And then that to the penny, that's what our 10% tithe is. And we were doing it out of, we were tithing, but we were tithing out of fear. And if we don't tithe, then, oh shoot, we're in trouble. But we decided when he came, we're going to tithe out of faith and out of, like pastor's been saying, out of principle. So we decided to take that and round it up to the nearest 10. It was only like a $2, $3 difference, but it was still that idea of giving out of faith. And my wife will share the next part.
Okay. So I had signed up to do some overtime yesterday at the Cortica game. So Cortland versus Ithaca, they played yesterday. And all my coworkers thought I was crazy. Like, why would you volunteer for that? It's just a bunch of drunk people, So anyhow, and so I'm like, well, I'm signing up because I need the overtime, time and a half, because Christmas is coming up. And my coworker, who's not saved, by the way, said, well, I have a bunch of toys in the back of my car that we were just going to donate. And in the back of the car was that little crazy coupe car that looks brand new, by the way, like the stickers weren't even on, along with a bunch of other toys that we cannot give our boys. So,
we were, because of this thing, we're at least 2 months behind in bills. Rick, okay. We actually had temptation of, do we continue to pay tithe or do we try and catch up on bills and maybe get our kids some presents? And we got in a couple arguments. It was very stressful, but I felt in my heart God saying, I have always provided. You've gone through this situation time and time and time again. You've seen your parents go through this situation time and time and time again. And when have I not got you through? You're here, aren't you? You're here 3,000 miles away from where you grew up, and you're here. Do you not think I can take care of a little Christmas for you? So we're like, okay, so we're going to continue giving, and we did just like all you did and wrote our little promise down on, set it on the stairs, and we've been continuing to tithe faithfully, and God just, like my wife said, not only gave us that exact gift that my son wanted as his big gift, but like 3 or 4 other major big gifts, and we just couldn't be more happy that was here, that happened for us.
Isn't that awesome? He not only gives us the desires of our heart, but then he gives us more than we can even ask, think, or imagine. They hadn't even asked for more, but God, before they could even ask, gave them. That's walking under an open heaven. If you're ready to walk under your open heaven, stand to your feet. We're going to make our supernatural declaration from the Word of God. It's found in Deuteronomy 28, and I want you to prophesy these scriptures. I want you to speak them. When those words are released in the natural, it's going and breaking some stuff down and causing it to be supernatural. So let's declare it. If I obey, then I am blessed going in, and I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse. I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up because I'm a child of God. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bring your tithes and offerings to the Lord. If you're watching via live stream, click on the giving button. Give right along with us, or you can even text to give.
You are good. You are.
How many of you have been enjoying the series on principle versus persuasion? You know, it's amazing to see how many believers live more by persuasion than they do by principle. My concern and why this really was laid on my spirit was because we're watching the next generation is in a perilous position. And as moms and dads, I want to challenge you to be people of strong principles. As men and women of God, be people of strong principles. Not our principles, but God's principles. Can I hear an amen? So last week we shared about a principle with Jesus, and one of his main principles that we see is being attacked diabolically. In fact, Pastor Obi sent me a little photograph this week of actually what millennials believe about church. And the majority of millennials do not believe it's important to go to church. So an entire principle has been thrown out. I want to remind you that Jesus found it normal. Everybody shall say, as usual. The Bible says that with Jesus, it was as usual that he went to church. The Word who wrote the Word sat under the Word for 30 years before he preached the Word. Say it one more time. I don't know if I can, but I'm going to give it a shot. The Word who wrote the Word sat under the Word for 30 years before he preached the Word. So if it's good enough for Jesus, come on now, if Christ founded a principle that he had installed in his life, we need to make sure we're in the house of God. That is the principle. The persuasion is, well, you know, I'm tired. Well, you know, I've got a problem. Well, you know, I've got this. Well, you know, listen now, we all need a vacation. That's not what we're talking about. But what we're talking about is that more people are not coming to the house of God than are coming to the house of God. This is not a His Tabernacle issue. This is an issue across the United States of America, where the average Christian now only goes to church one out of every 3 weeks. Can you say amen? That's a scary little thing. That means our next generation is not going to go to church at all. If mom and dad only go to church one every 3 weeks, then we are not going to see our children go to church at all, which means they're not going to have principles installed in them that will take them to the next level and generation to where they will know God, be able to be used by God, and enjoy God. Can I hear an amen? So a principle is a rock-solid belief system that is built and established in our lives, and it is generational. Everybody shout generational. A persuasion is our likes, our dislikes, our emotions, our circumstances that we allow to overtake the principles. Therefore, we move by more by emotion and our likes and dislikes than by this is the way it always is. How many of you go to work on Monday morning? How many of you realize it's a principle? If you don't go to work on Monday morning and you don't call in, you don't have a job. That's a principle. Can I hear an amen? We all know the principle. If you drive 140 miles an hour into a tree, it is a bad thing. Can I hear an amen? The principle is very clear. You could say emotionally, I have a Jesus bobblehead on my dashboard, and I'm playing Family Life Network. But if you still travel at that speed and hit a tree, it is an unsafe situation. That's principle. So we are principle people. We cannot allow our persuasions to overtake us. I want to talk about another, just one more, principle to persuasion that Christ has lived and Christ showed us that the church needs to have and readopt in our lives. The Bible says, and turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2, starting with verse 4. I'm going to preach Bostonian. Last week I caused major problems in the church. I don't know if you recognize that. We actually had people yelling at each other in the parking lot. We had a bottleneck in the parking lot. When I preach late, it causes major problems. So I'm supposed to be done by 10:26 and 30 seconds. Glory to Jesus. Here's the verse. And the things which you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So he's talking to us about principles. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. We start talking about Jesus and the principles that he lived. Many people have just really crazy thoughts about the Lord, like I had about my pastor. When I was a young man, I had a pastor. His name was Reverend Locker. And I remember when things were happening in our church that weren't all that pretty, I was down at his house one day, and I actually asked him if he went to the bathroom, because I didn't believe as a preacher he went to the bathroom. I mean, I just couldn't fathom. I mean, he's a pastor. He's God's man in faith and power. How could he go to the bathroom? There are a lot of people who have a really misconception about Jesus. They think he floated 6 inches off the floor at all times, and that he always sang Kumbaya and said, love, 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 love. That's all he ever did. He walked around just like that. But we need to recognize that Jesus also himself went to the bathroom. It's not being disrespectful. This is important. Because Jesus did something for us, set up principles for us, but if we think he did them only because he was God, then we cannot accomplish them as humans. But I want to remind you that Christ was deity, which means this: he gave up all of his heavenly glory, Philippians chapter 2, to come down here and live as a man. He gave up all of his heavenly power, which means he was all God and all man in the same flesh. But he gave up that power of heaven and chose to work like you and I work on this earth to show us that victory is capable and ascertainable. Can I hear an amen? The first Adam brought death, but the second Adam brought, come on now, the first Adam brought death, but the second Adam brought, so if Jesus did all the mighty miracles, if Jesus did all the signs and wonders, if Jesus lived a holy life because and only because he was the Son of God, then he put before us an impossibility that you and I could ever live right before the Lord. So you see, Christ, he chose to give it all up and to live like a man. That's why he was called Jesus of Nazareth, to show us that he was all man and all God in the same flesh. But yet even his ministry did not begin until he was water baptized and the Spirit of God, Mark chapter 1, came upon him, and God the Father said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." At that very moment, his ministry began because the anointing of the Holy Spirit for ministry was upon him. You see, Christ is teaching us that there are principles that he showed us, taught us, led us to, that if we will live in them, we can have the same success that he had. Can I hear an amen or oh my? Christ gave us that. Now we know that according to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, this high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he was faced with all the same testings like we do, yet he was without sin. You see, if Jesus had done all of the things he did on earth because he was God, then he couldn't have said that. So he's teaching us these principles that we need to grab a hold of. You know, it was also customary. Many people don't realize that he grew up. He had to grow up. You know what? He had a mom and dad and brothers and sisters. Anybody here ever had brothers and sisters before? You love them all the time, don't you? You want to lay hands on them suddenly sometimes. Glory to the name of Jesus. But Christ, he was a man. He was a boy. He grew up like a little child. And he had a dad, and he had a mom, and he had brothers and sisters. He had a job. Turn to someone and say, Jesus had a job. How do we know that? The Bible says if a man doesn't take care of his own house, he's worse than an infidel. It means worse than an unbeliever. Jesus didn't float. I've got money floating out of heaven. The printing press from heaven, please. I need a few $100 bills. He didn't have that. Jesus worked. In fact, when you start studying the realities of custom and birthright, Christ was learning under his dad, who was a carpenter by trade, and they didn't have DeWalt or Milwaukee back then. He had to take an axe, he had drills. And you know Christ was buff, man. He had to be buff. You know, the Bible says he wasn't real pretty, but he had to be buff because he was a contractor. You know, we look at Jesus and we twist things up so often, and we make him unobtainable. Now, listen now, I'm not saying we can become God, but what I'm saying is the first Adam brought death, the second Adam brought life. What Adam and Eve fell to, Christ overcame. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And Jesus paid the price as living for you and I. And he paid the price as showing us through principle and example that we don't have to fall the same way the others have. That the Christ in us, the hope of glory, the power and the demonstration of the Spirit of God who overwhelms us and overpowers, we can live within victory, for we have been made more than conquerors through Christ Jesus our Lord. The Bible says that Jesus grew up in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and also with people. So you see, when we go back to that verse in 2 Timothy, I wasn't tagging the text. I'm going to come back to it. I want to show you a principle that Jesus lived. Jesus, the Bible says here in 2 Timothy 2:4, that a soldier should not be entangled himself with the affairs of this world. The word entangled means this. It means it's so interwoven that there's no way to unravel it. Has anybody ever had a cord box? You know, you got a box that you just throw all your old cords in. And then one day you need one of those cords. And you find the end. And you pick up that end, and it's 4 feet in circumference. It's just a ball of wire. How in the world can a wire get so entangled with something that it's not even paired to? And this is what happens in many people's lives. The Bible says we've got to occupy till he comes. You see, Christ was occupying on this earth. He was growing up. He was growing with wisdom. He was growing in stature. He had brothers and sisters. He had a mom and dad he had to obey. But yet he was growing up and learning that he had to be about his father's business. He had to be about his father's purposes. And his father was not Joseph. His father that he yielded to on the earth was Joseph, but his actual father was God the Father, because Mary, while she was a virgin, was implanted by the Holy Ghost, and the Jesus that we know was born a virgin birth, can I hear an amen, from a virgin, and therefore he was all God and all man. This is where we've got to get back to, because we've got to say Jesus lived certain principles where he grew up, he had to get a job, he had to sit, listen, as usual, he went to church every single Saturday. He was in church. Now, we don't go to Saturday. We go to Sunday. But the truth is that every Sabbath day, Christ was in church. That was a principle that he had. Here's the principle that I want to talk about. I want to talk about the principle of purpose and destiny. You see, because Jesus chose to live a life of principle, and because he chose to do that, he recognized this one truth that many of us in the church world have now left behind. And it's this truth. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 14. For this world is not our permanent home. We are looking forward to a home yet to come. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. Friends, this world is not your home, so don't make yourselves all cozy in it. This is the Message Bible. Don't indulge your ego at the expense of your soul. Live an exemplary life among the natives so that your actions will refute their prejudices. Then they'll be won over to God's side and be there to join in the celebration when he arrives. A principle that Jesus lived was he never forgot that this earth was not, that he never forgot that heaven was his home and earth was his visitation place. Many of us believers have become so entangled with this world that the persuasion is stronger than it should be. I want you to recognize that money disappears. Money cometh, money goeth. Can I hear an amen? I'm making more money. But what do you do when you make more money? You spend more. I was sitting next to a man when Corning stock dropped many years ago, and he lost $300,000 in minutes. I was there. He literally slumped in his chair to the left side. Money's there, money's gone. How many people, when all of the corruption happened down in New York City with that one company, how many lost their entire retirements? They thought they were set for life, and all of a sudden now they've got nothing. We so entangle. Listen now, we have got to occupy till he comes. Jesus occupied. He had a job. He had a family. He lived in a house. Christ occupied, but he knew that there was something greater inside of him. He knew that his purpose was more important than just sucking air, working a few jobs, and having a family. You see, Christ, and I'm not saying Jesus had a wife. I'm saying he had a family. Brothers and sisters, mom and dad had to repeat that just so that I could see people's faces. it's important that we get back to the reality that Christ kept the principle that this earth is not his home. Some of us have gotten so settled here. We're so happy here. Now, remember, as a teenager, I used to always tell Jesus, "No, please don't come back till after I graduate. Lord, I at least want to graduate. I went through 11 years of high school. Please let me graduate." But there are many believers, the Bible says that we should look forward to his coming, aren't even look forward at all because we're so entangled with the affairs. The word affairs there means business. We're so entangled with the business of this world, and our life is absorbed by the earth's principles and persuasions, and the principles of heaven and who we are, what we're called to, is slowly dissipating, and we're finding that many believers are the wandering lost. There's nobody more blind than an individual that has no vision for life. Jesus loved the Father so much that he gave his physical life and gave his spirit. This is where you and I have got to get back to. We don't mind giving ourselves to Jesus. How many of you want to go to the lake of fire? How many of you don't want to go to the lake of fire? That's a good sign. So you what? You say, "Jesus, I confess you as my Lord and Savior. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved." Wow! You come up front, you give your heart to the Lord. Man, you start your walk and your adventure with Jesus. We don't mind giving our spirit, but Christ has asked more than just our spirit. Now, this is a principle that's been lost in the body of Christ. We just want to get people saved, but getting you saved isn't the whole purpose for you getting saved. If your purpose for getting saved was to get saved, you drop dead after you got saved. Then we'd never build a church. Can you imagine if every Sunday somebody who walks in, "I want the Lord, hallelujah," they come to the altar, they meet Mindy at the front, and we say, "We'd like you to go over here and pray with Mindy." They walk over with Mindy, they get led to the Lord, and they drop dead. Well, it wouldn't be bad for them, because they're absent from the body to be present with the Lord, but you sure can't grow God's kingdom that way here on earth. You see, you aren't born so that you can just go to heaven. You're born because God's got a specific plan for your life, gifts and talents he's placed within you. And God has a call on your life. You might not ever be a pastor. You might not ever be an apostle, a prophet, a pastor, a teacher, an evangelist. But you'll be someone who will use the gifts that he's deposited in you. You are just as called, just as appointed, just as anointed. And God needs your life. But what's happened is when we're so entangled with the things of this world that our persuasions become more powerful than the purpose and the principle that my life has design. When we lose our design, then ultimately you are a jack of all trades and a what? And a what? Master of none. Jesus realized that his eternal purpose outweighed his temporal presence on this earth. We've lost that in the church. This is why, again, it's so easy to be a visitor at church than it is to be, this is your home. Now, I know I'm not knocking those who work in the police departments. I'm not knocking those who are nurses, not going after you and trying to condemn you. But many people who have jobs on Sunday, you could just simply tell your boss, "I'm not working on Sunday." No, I know this works. Well, what if I lose my job? Well, maybe it's not a bad thing. Maybe some of you need to lose your jobs. Listen, I threatened my children. I told you last week, I threatened my children with this, no matter what job they had. And if they worked on a Sunday, I'd call the place up and say, "Hey, I love you, man, but you just lost yourself an employee." Because my children don't work on Sundays, and they don't work on Thursday nights. See, that's principle. I guarantee you that my grandchildren will have the same principle installed in them. Well, why is that? Because it's not an option. Kiera lived with us a year. What was the principle, Kiera? You'll be in church whether you like it or not. Come on up here with your beautiful hairdo. Come on up here. Get up here now. Baby, come on up here. Don't make me come get you. Come on. I know you look funky, but that's all right. That's our baby girl. Now, our baby girl came to us, and it wasn't something that was a principle. No. Having a job wasn't a principle. Now she's got one. You see, that's why I brought you up. I want everybody to see how pink you are. She worked when?
This morning.
What time did you go in?
11 o'clock last night.
What time did you get out?
7:41.
Where are you now?
Church.
Why? I put this in her. Now, she didn't show up for a week or two. I got on the phone. I said, where are you? Why? It's principle. It's principle. What we teach our children is principle. What Jesus taught us was principle. That we cannot allow ourselves to get so entangled with this world that we abandon our call and our purpose. Can you imagine if Jesus was so busy with his carpentry business that he didn't go to church as usual? He didn't pray as usual. He decided, listen, I'm going to put the ministry off for a few years because I got too much to do. We all say, well, that's not possible. Yes, it was. It was definitely possible for the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, to abandon his call, because if he couldn't, then he wouldn't have been all man. Christ had the ability to say, no, I don't want to follow through with my call. I don't want to die on the cross. The Bible says even he was on the cross, he could have called legions of angels and been removed from there. But you see, he said, I count it all joy. What did he count all joy? He caught you all joy. He saw you in the future. He saw your family saved. He saw your children saved. He saw your nana and your grandma, your grandpa saved. He saw, and Jesus counted it joy. He said, I'll stay to the principle that yes, I'm here on this earth, but my purpose is heavenly and divine, not natural. Whether you like it or not, your call is divine. There are people, only people. Well, I got to be careful. I got time. Jeepers. Time keeps on ticking, ticking, ticking. Lord, let it be with Joshua. Stop the clock. You wouldn't be laughing if it happened. You see, many people in the body of Christ do nothing in the body of Christ. We come to church on Sunday, not knocking you, thank God, as usual. But that's the extent of our service for the King. And I really, one of the things that concerns me is getting to eternity. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 11 through 15, talking about the bema seat of Christ, where the Christian will be judged, is that we'll stand before him and he'll say, what did you do for me? And you'll say, well, you know, I was just real busy. He'll say, you were entangled. You were so entangled. Can you imagine looking at your drill instructor and saying, listen, I'm brushing my teeth. What would happen if you did that? Susan was almost a drill instructor. What would happen, Susan, if all of a sudden, someone looked at you and said, listen, I'll be out when I'm ready in formation because I'm brushing my teeth. Those are the new days. In the old days, they beat the snot out of you. We've gotten to where the body of Christ has stopped really being a working body, and Christ's principle was to create the body of Christ where each and every one of us are fitly informed together, that each one of us and the gifts and the talents that we have can be installed and instituted, and that the church will move as one body. Where if the body moves as one, there's nothing that we cannot accomplish. The church has to rise to the place where our persuasions and the drawing from this world has less hold on us than it does now. See, the enemy would love to persuade you to trade your calling for a temporary persuasion. Let me say it one more time. The enemy would love to get you to trade your calling for a temporary persuasion. And listen, I honestly, as a pastor, oh, I got 1 minute. I'm wasting 10 seconds because I'm not sure what to do. So here we go. What happens if the person that led you to the Lord chose to be too entangled with the world that they never shared Jesus or brought you to church? If they said, well, I'm tired. If they said, well, I got too much to do. They said, hey, listen, I got to get a second job on a Sunday morning. They did this, they did that. They chose to be so entangled with the world that their purpose and the design that God has for them, and you were that part of that design, was no longer an option for them. You see, we always assume somebody else is going to step in and take over where we dropped off. But the fact is that might not occur. Your life is not your own. You've been bought with a price when you surrendered it to the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, you've heard me quote the verse 10,000 times, Galatians 2. It's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live according to the faith of the Son of God. It's so important to recognize that the principle that made Christ so successful to where he saved all of us was he said, this world will not entangle me. I must occupy. I've got to work. I've got to make money. I've got to take care of my family. I've got to do this. I've got to do this. I've got to do this. But my major purpose is my principle that God has a design for my life. My question is, if you looked over your principles, where is it in your life that God and your giftings are being used? We're an active church. You know that, right? You know, I'm not really good with lazy. I call it welfare Christianity. People that don't mind taking but never give. And I'm not talking money. I'm talking life. You know, there are churches all over the country filled with welfare Christianity. But welfare is for a purpose, and that's sometimes just to get healed up. But after a while, you got to come off and start being a working citizen. Can I hear an amen or oh my? Some of us have given up our purpose and have been persuaded by work. Some by play, sports activities, and listen now, I can't tell you how many parents are pulling their children out of church on a Sunday morning because they're playing football. Tell you something, football will not keep you, and most of your children will never, ever, I only know maybe two children that have ever been in this church that will become something in the aspect of a national and international successes. It's very rare, but what in sports. But what I have found is that people will actually invest so much in a sport with their child, taking away the principle of God and the purpose of God in their life. And when they turn 18, they're more faithful to the sport than they are to Jesus. They know more about tackle than they do about the word. The word will keep you. Tackling will bruise you. Can I hear an amen or oh my? Another one is some people trade out their purpose for the persuasion with relationships, men and women. I just saw recently somebody started dating and they no longer come to church. Why? Listen, if you're born again, you're not allowed to date according to the word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, you're not allowed to date an unbeliever. That's called the principle. Ladies, you're supposed to keep your legs shut until you say I do. Boys, strap it to your legs. Can I hear an amen? It's getting dangerous out there. Some people trade their purpose to a persuasion because they've been hurt and they're getting bitter. Man, I tell you something, when you give somebody so much control over your life that you stop serving God, you stop coming to church, man, they're the big God in your life. Remember, what you submit to is your God. And if you're submitting to the bitterness because of the wound they put in your life, they are a bigger God than the God of heaven. Can I hear an amen? Same with love, and wants to shift your eyes to your immediate persuasion rather than your eternal principle. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 18. So we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are the things which are visible are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal and imperishable. This is what made Jesus so powerful. Is he recognized that, yes, he was here. Yes, he had to occupy. But his principle was stronger than his persuasion. And the principle was, my life has destiny and purpose for heaven and a call and a task to do on this planet. And it's more powerful than being entangled with the foolish things of this world that ultimately will leave me nothing when I stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Turn to someone and say, you just don't realize how important you are. Come on, tell somebody else, you just don't realize how important you are. And today I want to challenge you. If I can challenge you as your pastor, I'm so excited to challenge you. As you know, if you come here, I leave you with a challenge because I want you to recognize the benefit of what I'm preaching for your life is that your design, you are going to do so much for the Lord. You're going to see so many friends change. You're going to see your family change. You're going to say, well, I've been trying, but nothing's happening. Keep living it. Keep releasing it. Keep preaching it. Keep standing the principles. Principles are always stronger than persuasion. And when the wind blows and the storms come and everything is shaken, only those who are standing on the principles of the Word of God will remain standing after the storm is gone. The greatest testimony you have is your testimony of standing. In my high school, one of the most powerful drugs that was going around when I was in high school was acid. It was the purple little pyramid. How many of you remember those? How many of you popped those? No, don't raise your hand. We'd be sitting in algebra class, and they'd pass around. It'd be on one of those light, those little dot strips. And everybody would just go around and pop one. It would always come to me, and I'd say, no, I don't do that. I don't do that. Spencer, what's your problem? Come on, everybody in the class is doing it. No, I got a principle. My dad taught me something. He said, I want to know what I've done, how I've done it, if I've had fun doing it, and who I did with, and you can't always do it if you're on drugs and drinking. And so I said, no, thank you. So I became the target. They're running around. Man, this one kid, he walked up and he says, dude, I got a dime bag for you. If you'll just smoke one joint with me, he said, and it's Hawaiian gold. He said, if you smoke one joint with me and go with me to a rock and roll concert, Spencer, I'll be your best friend. And I said, well, you have a good time then. I want you to know that I ask your forgiveness, for I have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It is 10:33. In my yearbook, the greatest tapster, and that's what they called him, the greatest tapster wrote this in my yearbook. It's finally good to see somebody that will stand for something. She made fun of me. She got people against me in high school. But when push came to shove, what was finally written in my yearbook was the truth. It's hard to find people of principle. More are moved by persuasion. What's stronger in your life, principle or persuasion? What are you teaching your children, principles or your persuasions? Because your persuasion will become their principle. Amen? Bow your heads with me this morning. If somebody here that doesn't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the principle is this. If you will confess that you're a sinner, if you'll ask Jesus to be the Lord of your life, your days will change. Everything changes in your life. You then, old things are passed away. All things become new. You become a child of God, a citizen of heaven. I'm not talking joining a church. I'm talking knowing him, walking with him. That's what God the Father has for you today. Today, if you do not know Jesus as your Savior and you want Him in your life, you want to live by principle, you want to go to heaven, you want to walk in the power of God, if that's you today, I want you to slide your hand up. I'm not going to wait long. Come on, get your hand up. 5, 4, 3. Come on, get your hand up. 2. Last call. Thank you very much. Last call. 1. Let's all stand to our feet. Father, I thank you so much for Jesus. I thank you so much that Jesus, you showed us how to live successfully. God, I thank you for a church, your church, full of people of principle that will stand firm and stand fast. God, no matter what the temptation, no matter what the persuasion, Lord, we will not look to the right hand or the left, but we'll keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. God, this world will not deter us. We choose not to be so entangled that if you whisper in our ear, we will not move on your behalf. God, we just thank you so much for your love and our design for you. We are fearfully and wonderfully made for the glory of God. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, the prayer team's coming around the front of the altar. The individual that raised their hand for salvation, I'm going to ask you to be brave. While everybody's moving about, if you'll just come right over on this side, meet me right over here with Mindy. We want to pray with you. Get your Bible, encourage you, strengthen you. Enjoy Jesus. Serve God with all of your heart. Make sure you bring a guest next week. Brother Tim Shuttlesworth will be with us. Bring a sinner so that they may hear the gospel and be saved.